Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We have got a stellar Saturday to look forward to, including Group 1 action from Sandown, where it is the Eclipse at the centre of attention, featuring the best horse in Britain in Omnisman. Will he follow up his brilliant Ascot performance? Will perhaps something emerge from the rest of the field? We'll find out from our top panellists looking across this card at Sandown. We'll have two races in focus there, and we'll also be heading to Haydock. We've got another really smart prospect to look forward to in Estrange. She's 1-4 to win the Bet365 Lancashire Oaks, but is she going to be an art contender? We'll have all the action covered, including the Old Newton Cup. What a brilliant race that is. A fantastic weekend of racing. And joining me to look through the action is, of course, in the top right, Graham Rodway, Racing Post tipster, the in-form Harry Wilson. He's been in form all year, hasn't he, really? And Ed Nicholson from Unibet, as ever. Great to have you on board with us. If you're a fan of the shows, as Sam told us last week, do make sure to get in touch. Tell us what you like. Have you got a fancy that we've missed? Make sure you let us know. And of course, hit that like button. As Sam says, it costs you absolutely nothing. Right, let's move on straight on to Sandown, where it is the pick of a weekend action. We're recording on Thursday afternoon. The ground is good, good to firm in places, but we know what the weather's like given the current heat wave, where we get to see Britain's best in action in the 3:35 at Sandown, the Coral Eclipse. An absolute stellar cast for the Group 1, including your 5-6 favourite Omnisman, so good at Royal Ascot. Will he follow it up? Sozi at 9-2, Delacroix and Camille Pissarro, the Aidan O'Brien trained pair, 6-1 and 7-1. Ruling Court, the Guineas winners in there at 9-1 and hot as hell, 28-1 outsider. Graham Rodway, kick us off. Talk us through the Eclipse on Saturday.
Great race, isn't it, James? We've got some real proper Group 1 horses coming in, all going up against each other. It's been one of the themes of the season so far, hasn't it? It's how great the competition has been in these top races, and we haven't been let down here either. I thought the outstanding performance of the week at Royal Ascot came from Ombudsman. Forget Field of Gold. Yeah, he was good, but how good was Ombudsman? Travelled so well, came off that really, really fast pace that Los Angeles set up with a stable mate there, and what a turn of foot he produced in the final furlong. He left them for dead. If Ombudsman is in that sort of form, James, I just don't think they're going to see which way he goes. He looked like a total superstar that day. He was obviously beaten here, wasn't he, first time out behind Al McCann, but I think time might tell that he had a tough task trying to give £3 to Al McCann that day, first time up after a layoff. I think he'd have no problem with the track. And the only worry for me would be the quick turnaround. He's got 17 days since, no doubt about it, a huge effort at Ascot. And will he come out of it? Will he be in the same form? That's a question that probably even John Fady Gosden can't answer, because no doubt they wouldn't be running him if he didn't look great at home. So, all things considered, I can't bet against Ombudsman, but just that quick turnaround does leave a little niggling doubt for me at a short price.
Certainly does. Harry, bring you in on this. Ombudsman got an RPI of 130, of course. Graham mentions Field of Gold, that spectacular performance, but Ombudsman's performance on ratings was seriously top class. How good do we think this Omnisman is?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, James, that he's one of the best horses in training. I actually thought he did nothing but enhance his reputation in the Brigadier Gerald. It was a run that I really enjoyed. Like obviously, Al McCann just set the fractions that he wanted on ground that he wanted. And we saw at Royal Ascot the turn of foot that Omnisman can produce when he's fit. And I think that's the case in point, that the Gosdens probably used the Brigadier Gerald as a prep race, and we got to see the true Ombudsman at Royal Ascot. I think like the big appeal, obviously, with these races is the classic generation taking on their elders, and it's the unexposed nature of the three-year-olds that gets you excited. But Ombudsman only made his debut last year. He's only had six runs, and he's looked special in five of them, and was probably a little bit unlucky at Sandown with what Graham said, giving £3 to a really classy horse in Al McCann. So I hope that we see the performance that matches the superstar that I think he is.
Big words there from Harry. Ed, we got two shouts from this. And have we got an early postcast hat-trick here?
I'm not too sure. I think everything that's been said is obviously correct. Ombudsman is one of the best horses in training. He put in a dazzling performance at Royal Ascot. I'm with Graham. I'm slightly worried about the turnaround. Royal Ascot horses coming here. I think the last one to do the double was Al-Kazim in 2013. Not many have tried, to be fair. But, you know, I was talking to a couple of top-class jockeys recently, and they said, these Group 1 horses, you don't realise how much winning a Group 1 takes out of a horse, and you don't know until you come back to the track. And that is a kind of a short turnaround. Same for Ruling Court, in a way, who came third in the St James's Palace. They both come in from Royal Ascot. My main worry, and the form experts on this podcast will know much more than I do, but is the way that the race is going to be run compared to the way the race was run at Royal Ascot. It was a very, very fast run race, and he came off the back and certainly was affected by that fast pace, because he got into all sorts of trouble as well. Well, not all sorts of trouble, but he couldn't get a run early on. And then Day has been kind of galloping up front, and he just came and, it's a bit unfair to say, picked up the bits and pieces, because he sprinted away and won really well. And as the RPR suggests, it was an amazing performance. But, you know, will the Aidan O'Brien pair, will they try to slow it up? I don't know whether he's going to be as effective off a slow pace. He might well be. He's a very good horse. But with those two kind of doubts, I was looking elsewhere. I couldn't believe the price of Ruling Court. I mean, when the last time a 2,000 guineas winner came to the Eclipse and was big as, well, when I looked at it, it was 20s. It's now 12s, 10s, 9s. I didn't think it was as bad run as people thought in the St. James Palace. He was obviously not his best. The BHA performance rating was 110 for him that day. He's 121 at his best. So he was below par, still ran on well, also didn't get the best of runs. So I could see Ruling Court running well. But again, the turnaround and the preparation with the Derby gets, I worry about that. So I've just come down on Sozi. They've been quoted as saying they want to make this a stallion, and that's why they're coming here. They've obviously won over a short distance. They think he's, you know, he's going to, his favourite for the arc. They think, you know, Andre Farber's coming over. If they win this, it really does help the stallion prospects. So I think it's got good form in the book, better horse than last year, has won over this sort of distance. Andre Farber doesn't come over. You know, he never comes over for these Group 1s with a horse that hasn't got a top-class chance. The French have only won it once in 65 years, though, I noted. So I'm going to go for a second victory for the French with Sozi in the Eclipse. But it's a cracking race. It's a right perfect renewal of the three-year-olds against the four-year-olds and older. So I'm really looking forward to it. We're also going Super Boost, James, I should say. Yeah. Super Boost. So every horse in this race will be boosted to the next price up on the ladder from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah, as you say, Sozi may have been a long time since France have won this race, but Sozi is looking for a Group 1 hat-trick on Saturday. Just before we move on, Graham, we'll start with you. You're in the Omnison camp. Who would be the horse you fear most if you're an Omnison supporter on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating what Ed was saying about the possibility of this being a slowly run race. Of course, it wouldn't be the first time in the Eclipse, going back all the way to Bosrasham all those years ago, and the Ferrari, after there was no pace in there and she was beaten. I'm not quite so worried about it with Ombudsman. It was a really strongly run race at Ascot, but if you look at sectionals, he did run the fastest final furlong of any winner that day, so he's not short of speed even off a slow pace. It's not like that pace was collapsing and he was just picking up the pieces. He really was quickening that day when he won at Ascot. I think he's got the turn of foot to deal with it if it is slowly run. The horse that I would be most concerned about, James, it's actually Delacroix, one of the two O'Brien horses. He beat Lamborn, didn't he, the dual Derby winner, over a mile and a quarter at Leopardstown. Not a lot went right for him at Epsom, but it wouldn't totally surprise me if we saw the Delacroix that we saw earlier in the season bounce back here. But even if he does, he's going to have to be seriously good to beat this Ombudsman if Ombudsman is in the same form as he was just 17 days ago.
And Harry, same question to you. You're in the Ombudsman camp. Who's the one that you're looking at thinking, well, if it's not him, this would be the most likely winner?
Yeah, I completely agree with Graham. Delacroix was the one that caught my eye. Obviously, you don't get sent off 2-1 for the Derby for no reason. Not a lot went right for him that day, whether it was the track or him being hampered near the start. They clearly didn't think he stayed the mile for that well either. Coming back in trip, I don't know if we've got jockey bookings yet. It'd be interesting to see which one Ryan Moore's on. But yeah, Delacroix would be the one that I'm most worried about. But as Graham said, Ombudsman looks in a different league.
Strong fancy for our for the favourite in the opening race that we've looked at there. We're going to move on to another race at Sandown before we move and turn our attentions to Haydock. But we're going to look at a really good handicap here, the 225 at Sandown, the Coral Challenge, which we might not know at this point in time of recording what Ryan Moore is going to ride, but we've known for a bit of a while he's going to ride Greek Order. And, well, Ed Nicholson would be very happy about this. Ryan Moore and Michael Bell, 7 winners from 20 runners in the last 5 seasons. So that's definitely a combination worth watching. But they aren't the favourites. The favourite is now emerging as Treasure Time at 11-4. Greek Order, who I just mentioned there, for Bell and Moore at 100-30. Classic Encounter, 11-2. Classic, 13-2. Watch your bet slips. 9-1, Tribal Chief. Arisaig, 12-1. Mersky, 14s. Two Tempting, 16s. Principality, 18. 22-1 bar. Harry, you love these big handicaps, don't you? Just tell us what wins.
Yeah, it's the question everyone wants answering anyway. I don't know, James. This is a difficult race. When I had a look at this race in the RFO on Monday, and I thought that Greek Order stood out. And with the booking of Moore, I'm actually surprised that he's not favourite. That run in the Royal Hunt Cup was really good. But I've landed on Classic for Richard Hannon. I really liked his run last time behind Urban Lion. He was slowly away and didn't get a lot of room. Urban Lion was on the other side to My Cloud in the Royal Hunt Cup, finished 5th, not that far behind Greek Order. Classic's run well off much higher marks in the past. He's got a really solid Sandown record. And I really like the weight that he's got off a nice low weight. And yeah, I think at the prices, I'd rather be with him.
He's a 13-2 shot, is Classic in the 225 at Sandown. Ed, I saw you nodding along when you mentioned, when Harry mentioned the booking of Ryan Moore. We've perhaps these favourites flip-flop. Greek Order perhaps could be strong on the day.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Haggis and Marquand are a fantastic combination, and they do come into to this sort of period of the year with good chances in handicaps. We'll see that over at Haydock when we talk about the Haggis runners there. But yeah, I think Greek Order, given that eye-catching run, will be favourite, and the booking of Ryan Moore, I think plenty of people will be looking to see what Ryan's riding on Saturday. It's quite interesting that Harry goes for Classic, because obviously Ryan Moore's got off Classic to get on Greek Order. And Classic is a classic horse to be backing each way. He's or a place. He's not a winner. He should have won last time. Ian Ryan Moore, who was riding him for the first time, couldn't get him home. 11-8 favourite at Sandown. He loves the course. He travels well. I know this horse quite well because Richard Hannon has been talking about him in our podcast, in our blogs for a couple of years now, 3 years. He just always flatters to see. There's always something that looks like he's unlucky about him. And I've only learned the last few years, even though I'm old and wizened, that a horse that's unlucky is unlucky for a reason. There's something that doesn't click. He might not have the speed to go through the gaps. He might not want to go through the gaps. So I'm going to leave Classic. I did tip him up last time, and I just said that's the last time I'm going to tip him up. You know, he'd probably win by 3 lengths now. But I really liked Too Tempting, and the price was literally too tempting for me to disapprove of him. He's a horse that I've backed quite a lot over the years. He's got a fantastic Sandown record. Well, not fantastic, but he's run 6 times there and been 2nd, 3. I think he's won once as well. He didn't run very well at Royal Ascot, but that probably was too quick a ground. If you go back to his Chester win, that was probably his best performance, I think. I was there that day, and Rob Hornby gave a cracking ride. What did have a good draw, but always was going to win. Dropped a pound. I just thought he was worth chancing at a big price, too tempting. Rob Hornby's obviously riding on the crest of a wave, not just the Northumberland Plate last Saturday, but he rode a treble at Foss Lass on Monday. He had a big winner at Chepstow yesterday. So jockey in form and a horse who loves the track. So too tempting, too big a price. I'll probably back it each way. Get the extra place. We're offering an extra place in this race, and hopefully he'll come home at least a place, but an outside squeak of winning.
That's 16-1. Too tempting is too tempting for Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Now, Graham, Ed mentions an interesting point, almost a bit of counselling there about the concept of a cliff horse. Where do you stand on Cliff horses? Are you keen to jump off? Do you stay on too long? What's the Rodway way?
I don't have cliff horses anymore. I got fed up of following them off cliffs and eventually ended up on the rocks, James. So nowadays I tend to take every race on its own merits and try to ignore whatever I did last time or whatever horse I did last time, or you know, and sit, just assess that race on its own merits. So it's become one of my golden rules, is not to get too attached to any horses. It's been costly over the years. This race is really probably the best betting race on the day at Sandown for me. Greek Order, I thought it's got a huge chance, gives me a chance to correct myself from the last one. Ombudsman actually ran the second fastest final furlong on that card on the Wednesday at Royal Ascot, behind the winner of the Royal Hunt Cup, My Cloud, who was the fastest winner of the day over the final furlong. And Greek Order was only a length and a half behind My Cloud in that Hunt Cup. My Cloud is definitely a group horse. He might even be a group one horse. And I thought Greek Order shaped like the second best horse in that Hunt Cup. He was the clear second on his side, the near side. Many of the other principals were on the other side of the track. Really, the only horse to beat him was My Cloud. I think if he runs to that level, he's going to be very difficult to beat. He's up 2 pounds. Ryan Moore's got history on him. So it's obviously the Michael Bell link up is a nice one to have given the stats, but Moore did ride Greek Order in his early career when he was trained by Harry and Roger Charlton, and he was a course and distance winner when he was with the Charltons before he went out to join Bill Mott in America. And I think that coming back to this track, he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. He just ticks so many boxes for me, Greek Order.
Yeah, and there was a bit of an echo there, Graham, because your confidence in My Cloud to be a group horse, I believe Harry Wilson said the very same things as he made him his winning nap for our Royal Ascot show. So well done, Harry, on that. And well done, you, if you followed him in as well at home. Well done, Harry's flying form, a great nap in the Royal Hunt Cup. But Graham's selection there, Greek Order in the 225 at Sandown. Let's see what the panel beak of Haydock after this short break. Okay, on to Haydock we go, where the ground is good to firm in places at the time of recording. And we're going to start at the 240 at Haydock. The big race of the day there, this is the Betfree 65 Lancashire Oaks, which features a very, very interesting prospect in a strange. Now, 1-4 favourite at the moment. We've also got Scenic, Love Talk and Knew It in there as well. But let's have a look at this Estrange, Graham. She's looked at times pretty brilliant. 12-1 with Unibet for the arc. Just give us a bit of a glimpse into what you think for the arc picture before we go into whether she wins this, which she's a short price to do so.
Yeah, she should win this. It's a very difficult one for the arc. I just really don't know how good she is, James, if I'm honest with you. I was at Doncaster when she won at the back end of last season, and it was testing ground, and they didn't seem to be going very quickly to my eye at the finish, but she did swoop past them and do it very, very impressively. And last time, of course, at this track, up to a mile and a half for the first time, she was superb, quickened up very, very well, and was a class apart. But that is, of course, taking on fillies, you know, in group threes and group twos, and it's a massive step up, not just a little step, but a massive step up to be talking about an arc from fillies group threes and group twos. She might well be up to it, but I could not have her on my mind for the arc at this stage, James.
Okay. I think she wins on Saturday pretty easily.
She should do.
Yeah. And as a brilliant grey, Graham, I'm sure she'd make a smashing hurdler as well in your.
Oh, she'd be a great jumper. Get her over fences now.
Some bold words from Graham. We'd love to hear it. Ed, 12-1. With Unibet for the art, would she interest you, or is there anything else perhaps that you look ahead to the big one in October?
Well, I'm looking at the other meeting on the day, Sandown, to see how Sozi gets on. I think that's got arc written all over. Obviously ran the race last year, I think, didn't yeah. He came fifth or so. But I agree with what Graham says. You'd like to see her win this, and she's in the Nassau Stakes, I noticed. So she'll probably run there in Group One. The only time she's got beaten has been on the fastest ground. So she's probably better on the softest ground, which we tend to get at the Arc. And if it got really quick at Haydock, that would be a worry. But yeah, she's head and shoulders above everybody else. David O'Meara is quoted in the excellent Racing Post quote section as saying, potentially, she's the best we've ever had. You know, and he's had a few good ones. He hasn't had a great one, but he's had a few good ones. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to see her strange. The way she gallops, she is a galloping grey. Just be really good to see her win. So hopefully she does her business.
Yeah, Harry, free shouts for a strange, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure, James. David O'Meara trained one of my other favourite greys, Lord Glitters. Hopefully a strange can follow him into the Group One winner's enclosure. With the arc is probably a stretch at this point. I'm with Graham. Scenic is a really solid mare, and if a strange was to beat her well, I wouldn't say that she's shortened much, but she probably will shorten the touch given the market volatility in the arc. But I've had a quick look at that market recently, and I just thought they were a bit overreaction to Kalpana's loss in the Pretty Polly. I don't really know why she drifted that much. She's been running over a mile and a quarter on really fast ground against really good horses. And she needs a mile and a form, probably a little bit softer. And I think 16s, 18s, I think you can get her at now. I think that's quite a decent price for what's a Group One winner.
Yeah, a little one. Bonus one thrown in there. Let's move on to what I think probably is the best betting race of the day. We'll see if the panel agree with me on that. It's a 3.15 at Haydock, the Bet365 Old Newton Cup. An absolute cracking field and a really good race, not just on Saturday, but a race to follow for the rest of the season. Your favourites at 7-2 is Sir Lowry's Pass. Plage de Arve at 6-1. Stress-Free, 15-2. My Dream World, 8-1. Minstrel Knight, 17-2. A little bit of money for this horse. 2 at 9-1. City of Delight and Paddy the Squire. Chillingham at 10s. Night Breeze, 11s, 12-1. Bar. Ed, best betting race of the weekend, do you think?
It traditionally is. Yeah, there's always good cards at Sandown. That good handicap there is always well supported, but the Old Newton Cup is one of those races that our traders put in the calendar straight away, because we know there'll be a lot of older horses. It's a 4-year-olds plus that the customers know that they've been following, but also there tends to be an improving older horse in this race because of the way that it's run and where it's run and how much it is. £77,000 to the winner, so why wouldn't you kind of aim for this race if you've got a middle distance improving older horse? And I think there's quite a few in the race, but the one that I've pinpointed is Stress Free, who is trained by that man David O'Meara. I think all of us here are big fans of David O'Meara when it comes to handicaps and his placing of horses, and he's actually won this race twice in the last 4 years, and this horse disappointed at Royal Ascot. If you can forgive him for that, and you can always forgive a horse a bad run, might have been a little bit too quick for him. You go back to his race before that, he won over the course and distance, I think, over 1.4 at Haydock. When I watched the replay a couple of times before today, and he wouldn't have thought he was going to win two out. He was on the wide outside, and he just got there in the shadows of the post. He's obviously a brave horse. He's obviously an improving horse. That was his best performance to date. If you look at his MOT in the form book, you know, it keeps on improving. It's a typically improving older horse that runs very well in this race. And David O'Meara's got, I would imagine, has got quite a few horses like that. And he's chosen this horse to be his runner in this race, in which he obviously targets. And he's not a bad novice hurdler. He's had a couple of runs over hurdles, this horse. So it could be a dual purpose horse in the future. But yeah, Stress Free. He won't give you a stress free run because he'll be at the back. He needs a fast run race. He will get it. And then he needs a run. You know, Haydock, sometimes you just can't get that run. But he will be coming wide, which I always think is a positive with a hold-up horse at Haydock. You don't want to be on the rails looking for a gap because it never opens. Well, the ones that I back never opens. So I'm going for him on the wide outside, get there, win by half a length, go on to win something else. So Stress-Free. Extra place as well we're offering in this race.
Slid right in at the end there, Ed. Let's see how you do it. Graham. Old Newton Cup, you've got an outsider for us.
Yeah, what can happen in these races, and we saw it in the Northumberland Plate on the weekend, is you can end up with quite a lot of exposed older horses getting in and not many unexposed horses running. And as a result, you can end up with horses like Spirit Mixer, for example, coming home in front. Now, there are a couple of potentially unexposed ones in here, but I quite like a course specialist here, Box to Box, Hugo Palmer. He loves a winner at Haydock, obviously, one of his local tracks. Box to Box has been a star for him at the track, was successful here last time. We won well that day. He easily beat a horse called Bambra, who, albeit, is disappointed since. But there was a well-beaten horse in there who's come out and finished a good third at Chester subsequently. So I don't think the form is too shabby at all. And Box to Box is up £6 in the weights. I think the key to his improvement and possibilities of defying the higher mark is going back up in trip. He's done a lot of his racing over a mile and a quarter, but he has won over a mile and 3.5 furlongs before. So we know that he does stay the distance. And I think that might just open up a little bit more progress from Box to Box. And a big old price, I'm more than happy to take a chance on one of the more exposed runners.
A big price indeed, Graham. Box to Box 20-1 with Unibet for the Old Newton Cup at 3:15 at Haydock. Harry, take us away. What do you like here?
Yeah, I'm siding with Andrew Balding and Plage de Havre. I backed him at York in the Jorvik handicap. And although I don't think he deserved to win, he was a little bit unlucky in the run. Just didn't get out at a crucial time. Stress-free was in second that day, about 2 lengths in front. And he's got an £8 swing with him today, which will only help. He's got some really strong all-weather form. I'm a big follower of the all-weather. And he beat a horse called Midnight Lion, who's won a couple of times since. And he also came second to Wonder Legend. Wonder Legend won the marathon on All-Weather Championship Day. And he's now £12 higher. He's only rated 92. He's got RPRs in the high 90s, which suggests that his mark might be a bit workable. And Andrew Balding likes this race. And Plage d'Havre, if there's a little bit of rain as well, I think it will help. He's by a new bay out of a Lope de Vega mare. And I think he probably found the ground a bit quick at York last time. So I think they forecast a bit of rain Friday into Saturday. If that happens, then I think he's got even better chances.
Yeah, 6-1 and potentially a chance improves given what the forecast does. Let's move on to the rest of the racing on ITV. Three races we've not covered in detail. That's 1:50 at Sandown, 2:05 at Haydock, and the 3:00 at Sandown. We'll have a quick spin through these races. We'll come back to you, Graham. Those three races, what do you like in them?
Yeah, I thought that the charge that kicks off the card at Sandown, I thought Adrestia was quite interesting against the older horses. Can be quite difficult for the three-year-olds taking on their elders over five at this time of year. But Adrestia, I thought, looked like she might be up to it when she won the Palace of Holyrood House, I think it's called, at Royal Ascot. She thrashed, really, 20-odd rivals that day and was so strong at the finish. She really did come home well. She's a course and distance winner, so we know that she likes a stiff 5 furlongs and this track, and I think she'll be very difficult to beat in that opener, the 1:50. And the 3:00, the Distaff, is a really good race. I backed Blue Bolt last time when she won at Newbury, and I think she almost got there a little bit too soon. She was going so well. However, I thought Supermodel might be able to strut her stuff here, James. She was very impressive when she won at Nottingham last time, being a horse called Treasure. And again, powered through the finish line that day. You won't see a horse come home much stronger than Supermodel did there. And William Haggis must have been disappointed at Royal Ascot because he had her in the Sandringham. She was one of the well-fancied favourites for the race. She had to be withdrawn because of an infection on the day of the race. But all must be well now with Supermodel. And I'm expecting her to come home in front in the Distaff, the 3:00 at Sandown.
We almost got through this show without a silly pun. Almost. Maybe next time. Adrestria in the 150 at Sandown. Supermodel in the 3 o'clock at Sandown. Number two selections from Graham Rodway. Harry, take us away. What do you like?
I'm going to take on Graham in the charge with Curdos. He ran a cracker in the King Charles III Stakes at Royal Ascot in the Group 1. He was the only one drawn low that finished in the first seven or eight. He was only beaten two lengths, and he's dropping massively in class. I think it's quite interesting that Soumyon was on board that day, and he's got his only ride of the day in that first race on Kudos again. And it's also interesting that last time he actually got loose beforehand as well, before running a cracker. Like, you don't know how much energy that takes out of horses, and to still be able to perform at Group 1 level after doing that is quite something. So I think he doesn't win very often, but stiff track at Sandown will suit. And with Shoe's quality in the race, I hope that you get the pace that he needs to aim at. I had a quick look at the Distaff, and Miss Tenere is one that I've been following since she finished fourth, Desert Flower. Obviously, subsequent 1,000 Guineas winner. I don't think she's had things her own way the last twice. Like, she ran in the heavy ground in France and then possibly needed a run in the Musadora. I can't believe that she's not trained on. She looked too good last year, and I'm willing to give her another chance. A stiff mile and a drop in class will help with that. So she'd be my selection at this staff. And then... go over to Haydock for their mile six handicap. It's the top weight Prince of the Seas that took my eye. Again, he's one that you're going to have to let off for the last twice. But I thought he ran quite well at Epsom in the Blue Ribbon Trial. And I don't think he handled the track. And I don't think he handled Lingfield, which isn't too dissimilar to Epsom. So a nice flat track at Haydock, possibly with a bit of juice in the ground if the rain does come. I think he's overpriced.
Okay, so that was Curdos in the 150, Prince of Seas in the 205 at Haydock, and it was Miss Tonnerre in the 3 o'clock at Sandown. Three selections from Harry Wilson. And again, Harry, very well done on your winning nap on our Royal Ascot show. First time Harry's been on the show since. Ed, some good winners for you at Royal Ascot. First time I've been back. Sam stood in for us, including your Carlisle sectionals have gone down with Venetian Sun. Very well done with us. So credit for you as well, Ed. What do you like in the remaining three here on Saturday?
Thank you. The 150, Sandown, the Cold Charge, that's our kind of flagship opera race. We're money back second or third as cash for that. So that's a race to concentrate on if you want to have a good offer. Second or third as cash. I liked Balmoral Lady here. She's got a very good record over five. She's won half her eight races over five furlongs. She ran well in the King Charles III Stakes last time. Obviously, he's coming back from a Group 1 at Royal Ascot, which we've spoken about before on this podcast. But I think she's a bit overpriced. Ed Walker's won this race twice from just three horses and come second with the other horse, which was a horse that he won it with Markova. So he obviously sends his horses here that have got a decent chance. I love following trainers in races as well. And that comes to a point in over at Haydock in the 205, the handicap over 1 mile six, where Valiancy is the favourite, trained by William Haggis. We talked about the Haggis handicappers at Haydock. This is the one I was referring to. His favourite has had three runs, one last time out at Hamilton and then comes here. Now, you guys might not remember, but I do, but he did exactly the same with the favourite in this race last year called Dramatic Star, who I napped up and slipped on the bend and had to be looked after, came 13 for 13. So I wasn't happy, but he ran his last race at Hamilton in the same race, the same maiden, and then came here. He was rated 87. This horse is rated 80. So, yeah, following the same pattern, William Haggis, he loves doing that with these handicappers. So that would be my selection, the 205. Ran about 4-1. I think that's quite a good prize, actually, for an improving, lightly raced horse. And then finally, I totally agree with Graham. I've gone for Supermodel. I always loved a Supermodel. And this one is going to come home first, I think. Again, William Haggis loves this race. He's won it three times with just six runners. If you watch that replay, Graham's absolutely right. I think Joanna Mason rode him on that occasion, just got up came up for the gap on the rails and just kept on motoring and looked like a really good improving horse. I can't believe the price of this horse, Supermodel. So I'm expecting Supermodel to continue the great record that Supermodel has on this particular substance. I think 2 from 3 at the moment, so maybe 3 from 4 after this race, but a big price. So that'll be my distaff. We're also going Super Boost in that race, where every horse is put up to the next price on the ladder from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning.
So that's Balmoral Lady in the 150, Valency in the 205 at Haydock, and Supermodel in the 3 o'clock at Haydock for Ed Nixon. That's all our main tips. We'll be having our best bets to come after this short break.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, it is that time in the show where we find out the naps for this Saturday. Let's start with you, Harry. You're in flying form. What is the Wilson nap, please?
We're heading to Sandown for the opener of the Charge, and it's Kurdos. He's taken a massive drop in class, having run a blind that's finished 5th in the King Charles III Stakes at Royal Ascot. He got loose beforehand, and he was badly drawn for how the race turned out. And I think this drop in class, stiff track and a good pace is everything that he needs. So that's Kurdos in the Charge.
Kurdos and the 150 at Sandown. Graham, yours potentially comes in the next.
Yeah, the next race, the 225 Coral Challenge, the Greek Order. I think Ryan Moore is going to get the best out of this horse. He had a good record on the Greek Order early in his career, and it's eye-catching to see him back on board in the 225 at Sandown. Greek Order for me, James.
Ed, are we going to Haydock? Are we going to Sandown?
Well, we're waiting to the final race on ITV. Hopefully, by the time the final race comes, I won't be that stressed, and it will be a stress-free nap, because I've gone for stress-free in the final race, the 3:15 at Haydock. David Amira loves the Old Newton Cup. He's won it a couple of times, and this horse has won over course and distance. So, yeah, stress-free to land the nap.
And I'm going to go for one we haven't quite discussed on the show yet, but Cajole in the 3 o'clock at Sandown with Distaff. This horse, a very good second at Royal Ascot last time, has the pedigree to improve. And I just feel the booking of Ryan Moore is an absolute positive as well. So Cajole in the 3 o'clock at Sandown for me. Thank you very much to our panellists. I've been James Stevens, Graham Woodway, if you're watching along in the top right, Harry Wilson, bottom left, and of course, Ed Nixon. And thanks for you for watching along. If you're a fan of a show, you like our fancies too, make sure to hit that like button, tell us what you like, and of course do subscribe to the Racing Post so you don't miss any more coverage of the brilliant flat season we've got to come this summer. Do make sure to join us again next Thursday, should I say, at 7 o'clock, because it's Super Saturday. We've got Ascot, we've got Newmarket, the July Cup, we've got the John Smith's Cup from York. It's a bit of a brilliant Saturday, so do not go anywhere else if you're looking for some wisdom ahead of a busy day in the racing calendar. But for now, enjoy this weekend's racing. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.